Bibles in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. It never ceases to amaze me how Brother Wilkerson remembers all the details. I'm learning about my own life just listening to him. Tell about us. Amazing. Right. Better do the right thing, otherwise he'll never forget about your sins as well. All right. Right. It'll be in the back of the diploma. You won't know because it's in that folder, but, you know, it'll be in the back of the diploma, so everybody will know about it. Okay, Daniel chapter 3. Stand for a moment. Let's read verses 28 and 29 together. Daniel 3, 28 and 29. Ready? Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak any things amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Father, thank you for the few moments we have, Lord. I pray that you use them, however long or short they might be, Lord. But use these few moments, Lord, to make a difference and to make an impact in somebody's heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We don't have time to read the whole story, but I think you know it. You have heard sermons from this chapter, and you will hear many, many more. And after these three men being challenged to worship this idol built by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were obligated to do so, otherwise sent into the fiery furnace, but they decided they were not going to do it. Look at the result at the end of this great revival. Think for a moment. We don't have a man that rules the whole world the way Nebuchadnezzar did at the time, and for him to acknowledge the God of the Bible, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to make a decree that everybody, just as much as he was demanding people to worship the idol before, he's just as much we could say that he's promoting the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's no surprising that when Jesus' time to be born on earth came about, that wise men from Orient came over, because a few hundred years ago, in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, it was made known the God of the Bible and the things that were to happen. Or what do you think those wise men from Orient learned about these signs that the King of Heaven was to be born in Bethlehem? And it's because of the things that happened at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And you would probably not think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego having that huge impact. And just like Brother Hornbrook said a moment ago, we are everyday men and women, but we have a mighty God that can do mighty things. You know, just it's great for me to come here, and just like Brother Wilkerson was saying a moment ago, yes, we had careers, and we're making good money in New York City. But I remember not really having learned many times at work, even though we made a lot of money, how to do things. I remember seeing the wickedness of this world, and we're not even saved. But I remember recording in my mind ways of seeing people do things and learning how not to do things. And, you know, this guy is doing it wrong, and that guy is doing... And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I'm talking about the wickedness that we saw in other people. And, you know, I don't want to do that. And we were making money, but at the same time, the influence of the world was setting into my family. And at the time, we had not been married too long. We already had three kids. And somehow, I didn't like the direction that my family was going morally, as far as values is concerned. And God had a plan for us. He reached out to us and got saved and left businesses and career and everything behind and came to this place. And I was so excited absorbing everything that was being taught to us here in college and at the church. And for the first time, I remember saying, I love this place because for the first time I can learn from somebody and absorb like a sponge everything. And it was just greatness after greatness. And don't ever get over that. I come back here after so many years. I don't even remember when was the last time. I don't come here often, but I'm encouraged to see the staff here that have been here for so many years and that you influence us. You don't know this, and it's probably our fault that we don't tell you, but I think of you a lot. I know the challenges that you have gone through, and to see you continue and go on, it encourages my heart. You know, I don't ever plan, Brother Wilkerson, to turn my back on the place that helped make me into who I am today. I wasn't at all what I am today, and I don't say this because I think I'm anybody, but I was not any at all. And I came to this place, and God used this place and men like you all to make who I am today. I will never turn my back on this place. And you know what these Hebrew children did? They also remain faithful. Because right now it's great to be excited while you're surrounded by your friends. And it's just exciting to be in HAC and FBC and in the bus route. And it's exciting. But once you leave this place, there are going to be a lot of challenges. You know, I was looking at the presentation of Brother Cabinets, right, of Africa. We have a missionary in Africa, in Equatorial Guinea. So I know a little bit of how life is there. And it's exciting to see the video. And I had tears in my eyes. But once you're there, you know, not everybody's going to ask you, Nani Jesu. Some people are going to say, you know, I don't care about Jesus. My daughter died, and don't come to me and preach about Jesus. I don't want your Jesus. It's not always going to be that great. And you know what? Decide now that you will remain faithful. Amen. That you will not turn your back on what made you who you are. This man here in the story didn't betray their God. They didn't give him their backs. And that's why I'm never going to give my back to this place. You know, you may hear news one day, hopefully never, but that maybe the ministry that helped you be who you are is in trouble. Well, even at the time, is more of a reason not to turn your back. They help you when you were nothing, and when they need your help, don't turn your back. Help! That's what's needed. You will need this place when you become a husband or a wife, a father or a mother for the next generation. You will need somebody to keep going to Africa and any place for the next generation. This is the only hope. It's not money, it's not professional people, it's Jesus, the hope for this world. Amen. So remain faithful, that's what they did. Remain faithful to their God despite of the odds that they could survive being thrown into the fire furnace. And then they stood firm against sin. Yeah. The world, it's turning more and more wicked every day. There are ways in which you, the younger generation, have access to sin that we did not have. Just simply by means of your cell phone and your computers and the internet, which was not there when we were young people. The world has changed so much. You know, sin is sin, but it's so accessible now. And you know what? They had an invitation to live in idolatry and to betray their God and to betray the Bible and to betray the faith of their fathers, but they rejected all of that. And I know you do that right now, but one day you're going to be standing alone wherever you go. And maybe right now it's easy to follow, to grab the coattail, so to speak, of the convictions of the staff, the preacher, even your friends. I know some of the young people come to the altar when the invitation is given if you see your friends come. But if you don't, then you stay there. And it's okay at the time. You know, your faith is still growing. You're still probably making some decisions. Some of you already have convictions. But there's going to be one day that somebody's going to depend on your faith. First of all, you will have to stand on your faith. It will not be the faith of your father or your mother anymore, your preacher, your anybody else, but your faith. So be sure that as much as you learn and grow in the different subject matters that you get here, that you get a grounded faith in the Bible and in the God of the Bible. You know, this book is the Word of God. You know what's the most important thing about this, the Word of God? It's the God of the Bible. Don't ever forget him. It's him speaking to you. So number one, they stayed faithful to God. Number two, they stood steadfast against sin. And number three, they were willing to pay the price. What was the price that they were willing to pay? It was their own lives. It was a fire furnace. And they were willing to go through that. Let me tell you something. You're going to die one day. Amen. No matter how young you are, I'm sure you probably have friends that didn't grow old and they died. You're going to die someday. And you heard about the girl that died of malaria. That's such a realistic thing. It's a mosquito bite and you die from that. You could die from that. There are missionaries that have died in the field. Or you can die here on Bird Street and or Route 30 and be run over by a truck or a car accident. You're going to die somehow, somewhere, someday. I know I'm going to die if Jesus doesn't come sooner for me. You know what? If I told Jesus, if I'm going to die instead of you coming for me in the rapture, I want to die serving you. I want to die for the cause of Christ. I want my life, my little life, to count for you, however long you give it to me. But even in the time that I'm called to die, I want my death somehow to have an impact in somebody to come to know Jesus. They were willing to die for a great cause. And what a testimony to this day and for centuries of this young man to take a stand for Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that paid the price for you. Who else better to die for than Jesus? Amen. And they brought great revival. Even though the decree was from Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar would not have decreed these words that we read in the beginning about the God of the Bible had not been for their steadfastness in their faith and their convictions. You know, many people may not know the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, unsaved people may know something about King David and the Apostle Peter. But if you ask people out there in the street about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will have no idea who they are. But their lives were used to make a great impact in their time, in their world, and even for centuries to come. And it's the same thing for you and me. Look at verse 30, and we finish with that. Daniel 3:30 says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You know what? Not only were they spared their lives and a great miracle happened and a great, to me, revival, because the God of the Bible was made known throughout the whole known world at the time, but then they were promoted. And many people are worried about promotion, which God gives. Don't worry about promotion in order for you to become a bigger guy, but all promotion is about is greater influence. What it happened for them is now if they have a position in the kingdom, you know what they're going to do? They're going to have more influence for their God. And promotion will come from God to your life, to probably places and positions that you never even dreamed of. Make sure you use that for the glory of God. Develop some convictions, remain faithful, decide that no matter what happens, no matter what news come in the future, don't turn your back on God. Don't turn your back on your pastor. Even if your pastor, you know, was to fall away in some situation, I'm sure all of us have had pastors that have told us, like the Apostle Paul, be followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ. But if I ever, that's why when I stood here a moment ago with my wife, I told you, put your eyes upon Jesus. Yeah. Don't put your eyes upon me. I may fall away someday. I hope not, but I may. But don't you remember the one thing that I told you today? Put your eyes upon Jesus. He will never fall away. Amen. He will never fail you. Amen. But sometimes those little one-liners, we don't even pay attention to. But it will take you to difficult times. And it's amazing how many great things you could get to see when you stay faithful till the end. You know what? We could very well be the generation that experiences the rapture, that hears that trumpet sound, and the clouds open and be raptured. I'm looking forward for that. So you know, it's just a little bit more that we have to be faithful, keep the faith. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time you gave us here.